狗崽子，狗崽子，狗崽子。
So actually, I'm just going to share with you some of the meanderings of my last week, and a little bit, you know, as you're talking about how to, you know, address people when they're talking, when they're discouraged or they're afraid or you know, any of that, like, what is it that we're carrying? And I was thinking, just in this last, probably the last 2 weeks or so, things are shifting and changing at my work, and it's leaving everybody discombobulated, and they're anxious, and they're, you know, mad, and so when you're in this environment all the time, you know, every day, you start getting impacted by it. And I realized about a week ago, I was like, man, I'm just kind of feeling humdrum. And I was talking with Lisi earlier today about when we're feeling that way, but how we believe about it and how we respond to it makes all the difference. And so thankfully, at least I knew it wasn't like I'd done something wrong or, you know, I wasn't, you know, reading my Bible enough. It, you know, I knew it wasn't that. And I just took a moment and just began asking the Lord. It's like, you know, where are you? And just like inclining my thoughts to Him. And I was remembering Bill Johnson. He makes a statement. He says, "Our shadow will always release whatever overshadows us." So think of the people that are in your sphere, in your family, your connections, your friends. You know, they are all being impacted by your shadow.
So if you're swimming in fear,
yeah,
you're going to be releasing fear.
Yeah. And I realize as I'm feeling a little bit humdrum, it's like, okay, my influence is kind of releasing that. And anyway, it just made me perk up, and it's as simple as, you know, I just took some moments to just say, you know, just like to make my awareness with the Lord, and I'll say more about that in just a minute. But I was that last Sunday or two Sundays ago, Danny, and you were talking about the Mississippi River.
Last Sunday.
Yeah, and how the flooding that has happened has actually changed the whole course of the river and the environment around it. And that really captivated me. So I started in this last week just reading and kind of studying a little bit, and not so much on the Mississippi River, but it's just sparked something in me. And that's a fun feeling for me, because when I've been in kind of a weeks of just feeling like a little bit of, yeah, I don't know, heavy or humdrum or just something, and there was this thing that was sparking in me, and I thought, man, that's amazing. So I started just reading a little bit about it, and I am just kind of pairing this with this verse. So this isn't really a teaching. Like I said, this is meanderings of where I've been in the last week or two, and then maybe just like an impartation for an awakening and a spark,
too,
especially in Luke.
Especially
but I'm just pairing this with John 7, verse 37 to 39, and this is what it says. "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." I love this whole passage. It just feels amazing. I mean, just as a side note to considering God's economy, that when I take a drink of him, it transforms into a river.
Right.
Like, you know, that's, you know, I have 5,000 people to feed and I have a sack lunch, you know, oh, I have a good idea. Let's use that. You know, I mean, that's like God's economy. And so just this taking a drink of him. And so that's what I've just been doing in this last week, just little bits, like just taking a drink. And it just starts immediately just flowing through you, connecting to you. And I thought that was great. Anyway, I read this about rivers. You guys, I'm sure, will know all of this. They're like a road. Rivers are like roads. They carry water, organisms, important gases, you know, oxygen and nutrients. They carry these everywhere. They also help drain away excess rainwater, and it provides for the inhabitants, right? People, animals, plants, and they give clean drinking water. They bring an economic value, environmental, aesthetic, beautiful, and spiritual values to everybody. I thought that was amazing. And then I started reading, like Jesus says, take a drink of me, and out of you are going to flow rivers of this living water. And so I just thought there's like two implications in these verses. That when Jesus tells us that he's going to be in us as a river, there's an implication that it's more than just for us. He doesn't say take a drink and be satisfied or be refreshed. All of that's a good thing. But he says take a drink and rivers are going to flow. And so that just makes me think that, like, he has his purpose, and we are about his purpose. And supernatural things happen when we join with his purpose, you know, where he's flowing and growing. And it's really only one purpose. It is to spread his spirit. How does the verse go? As the glory of the Lord covers the earth, right? I mean,
as
this
the waters
is
cover this,
as the waters cover, and so this is his purpose. And I was thinking, like, if each one of us here, a dozen people or so, all of us were unique and we're different, and we have just unusual, unique expressions of this, and that is what he loves so much. And how it all flows into accomplishing this purpose. What I said was, he is in us not as a drink to refresh or to satisfy, but as a river. And that means that we carry, like what you're saying about these tragedies that have happened, when people are coming to you, you know, why and what, and I'm afraid, and I'm discouraged, and the world's going to hell in a handbasket.
Those are good ones.
Yeah. That we are actually the river, the road that enables other people to travel, that we are transporting this refreshing, these nutrients, that we are impacting our business, our families, mm-hmm. our neighborhoods with, how did I say, economical, environmental, aesthetic, beautiful, and spiritual value. And and removing the things that aren't good, right? Rivers do that too. Mm-hmm. So when people are coming with sadness or discouragement, or their life just got turned upside down, we carry the capacity to have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. It is what Holy Spirit has mm-hmm. flowed in us, and right. it flows out. And that right. leads me to my second implication of this verse, that when he says, out of you will flow rivers of water, there's an implication of fullness.
Yeah.
I had a prop, I didn't set it up, but picture a water bottle. Hold on, I'm going to get one.
There you
this
go.
Water bottle, it's not open. And is it full?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, it's full. And so this, my second implication is that this is one of fullness. And so if I open this, I'm not going to finish my prop. This is brand new open.
Yeah.
I would suggest that the picture of fullness would be Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Your lid's on, right?
Yeah.
And that you would pour it in, and what's going to happen?
Overflows.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would suggest that is the picture of rivers that flow out of you.
Right.
I said
that's good.
That when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and He flows out of us as a river, it's never to point back to an experience. I was saved when I was 8 years old. Or I was filled with the Spirit and I spoke like it. Those are wonderful and they're fabulous. And they are monument altar things that we look back to,
yeah,
to mark the progression of the Lord. But it's never the final answer. And so, and I wrote this down. I said, our fullness of the flowing river, Holy Spirit out of us, it isn't measured by what it contains.
Mm-hmm.
It contains all those great things that I said. It's measured by what flows from it.
Come on.
So the fullness, mm-hmm, of Holy Spirit is overflowing, and the measure of Holy Spirit in your life, my life, is by what is flowing out of it. And bringing all of those...
get your gin back.
All of those the things just about the river. And
yes.
So I thought that was great, and I just wanted to say this applies to everyone. And you know, I was remembering, and I just, like, on a regular basis I bring myself back to remembering and then practicing, and I practice, right, and I practice, because years ago I used to think, well, how do I do that? How do I flow this river out of me? For me, you know, I was homeschooling. I was in the home all the time. And then when I would run to the grocery store, I did not want to see people. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted to go get the milk and come home. And so I used to just think, well, I can't. There will be another season for me. And that's true. God has seasons for all of that. Hold on, let me find my place back in my notes. But I was thinking, can you ever think of a scenario or a situation or an environment where God has nothing to do?
Nope.
Ah.
That God has nothing to do. Can you think of a situation? Or that He has a lack of something to say.
No.
I mean, when you put it like that, you're like, okay, well, that's not right. And so this is, like I said, my meanderings, like bringing myself back to, okay, that's not right. God, you always have something to say.
And He's always
moving. Yeah, you're always creating and bringing opportunities. And So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you just two things that I feel like helped define this purpose for me. And then I just want to read you two little excerpts because they just spark this awakening. And like, it was like pouring that water in, overflowing in me this week. And it was just so fun. So, and then I'll end with that. But applies to all of us, any time of the day. God is never in lack of something to say or something to do. So the first thing that helps define this purpose in us is to maintain an awareness of Him.
Right.
And I just wrote down just a couple of examples. I used to, when I was home all the time and Danny would go on travel, I would go with him. And he would go to work and I would play and sleep in and go shopping and that kind of stuff. But I would often, and I do this just periodically, you know, even now when I'm when I draw my attention to it, but I would I would do like the treasure hunt, you know, kind of a thing. I would sit in the hotel room and I would say, okay, God, you're always doing something. You always have something to say. I'm in the city. I know not a person, and I'm not really interested in meeting people either. And I would say, but since you're always saying something, give me some ideas. You know, give me a color. Give me a clothing. Give me a name. Give me an illness. And I would make the list, and then I would go out shopping for the day. And this one time, I don't remember everything, but I clearly remember it. I'd written down African, like, I'm just asking the Lord, you know, what are you saying? Who are you thinking about? What do you want to do? And I saw, just in my mind's eye, like African American. Okay, I wrote that down. And then I asked, okay, well, what else? Who are you thinking about? What do you want to do? What do you have to say? And the next picture I saw in my mind's eye was red shoes. And I'm like, okay. You know, who wears red shoes, whatever. And I probably wrote down to one or two other things. And I went about my day, and it was like this outdoor shopping mall. And I was more just meandering than I was shopping, but I'd been at one end, and I was coming through this large area of, it wasn't a food court, but it was an outdoor section. It was very large, tables and, you know, canapés, and it's in San Diego, all very beautiful. And I'm walking, and I see a table with a group. a group of young men that normally would just look scary to me. But one of them was African American. And so I might typically just avoid, you know, a group of young men that looked a little on the rough side. But I was like, oh, one's African American. And then as I drew closer, so I'm paying a little bit of attention, I'm like, oh my gosh, he is wearing red high tops. And I didn't do anything. I like prayed and I blessed as I went by, because I was just like, this is years ago, and I was just like so nervous. Like, you know, some of them had chains, you know, on their, you know, pants, and you know, and so I was amazed that, like, God was thinking of him, and he showed him to me. I wish I'd had the courage to just, like, boldly walk up and, you know, you're in a public place. What could happen, right? But I didn't. I did bless him as I went by. But that's, like, an example of I just took a moment, and I brought my awareness to him. And what are you thinking? What are you saying, God? You know, what's on your mind? And when we do that, he is so excited. He's just like, bam, right there. And we'll give you something. And I'll just share this one other time. And like I said, I just practice a lot. Like on that one, I didn't really follow through. But I make a habit of just periodically, I'll practice and I'll make mistakes and I'll just practice again. And this was a year or two ago. We were Christmas shopping. And I was in, we were in a store, and it's crowded, people in aisles everywhere. And so we're in an one of the electronic sections. And I, you know, I'm thinking again, like just drawing my awareness. Lord, what are you saying? Like, who's on your mind? What are you? And I didn't really get anything. I didn't get pictures. I didn't get names. I didn't get anything. And so instead, I just sat there for about 3 minutes. And just like I wasn't even like, oh, you know, closing my eyes or anything. I was just like bringing my awareness to him, my thoughts, my love, his love for me. It was just this like short exchange of, and I'm just like on purpose accumulating presence of God.
You stepped into the flow.
I did. I stepped into the flow of the river. And then all I did was, I was practicing, so I went to the end of one really crowded aisle, and I thought, I'm just going to walk through and release this presence that I've just been, like, you know, building up. And it was the most interesting experience. I didn't talk with anybody. I didn't even look at anybody. I just started walking through. But I am, you know, on my periphery. I'm being aware of what's going on. And all up and down that aisle, like as I was coming, I mean, people, they're shopping and they're looking and they're talking and they're, you know, yelling at kids. And And all up and down the aisle, they kind of stopped, not like all at once, just as I was kind of passing by, and they would stop, and they would be quiet, and they would look, and it happened all up and down the aisle. And, you know, so other,
presence.
Some people might discount that.
Presence.
I absolutely believe that that overflowing presence, it impacts like that, the, you know, your environment, wherever you go. And when we are on purpose, drawing our awareness to him and just asking the question, he's going to, you know, create something. If you're out walking the dog and you're all by yourself in your neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, God, who are you thinking of? Like, I bet he's going to give you something. He's gonna, you know, you're gonna pass somebody who's watering their lawn or something, and, you know, just any number of things, because God is never in lack of something to do in your environment. So, that was the first thing, maintain awareness of him and bring yourself back to that all the time. And the second one, I said, season that with expectation. Season it with expect, like when you start asking those things, expect God's going to create something.
Right.
He's just that good, and he's going to do it in the place where you find yourself, and it's going to be simple, and it's going to be super easy. And then you might have to, is Shelly gone?
She's here.
I was thinking Shelly might remember this the most. So some of you help me remember the story of Bob Johnson, and he's sitting in a, or Lisa, you might, I don't know. He's sitting in an environment and he hears God say, nibble on the guy's ear.
Oh, yeah.
So my second thing, maintain awareness was the first. The second thing is be willing to do whatever he says or whatever he shows you. So help me, who knows the story the best? You don't? Do you remember the story the best? Lacey, do you?
I think, I want to say it was like when they like in a restaurant or a bar or something and the other man was sitting alone too.
Oh, okay, yes,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah, and he just like had like this image or something to go like, or just this thought, like, go nibble on that guy's ear, and he's like, that's disgusting.
That is
and
disgusting.
And I don't think he actually did it. I think he just went over to the guy and like, or did he do
I
it?
Thought
I think
he did
I
it.
Thought
actually,
he did it.
He did
oh
it.
My God.
Nibbled on his hair?
Something like his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember
like,
the rest
his,
of
like,
this?
His, past wife, his late wife had done
passed
that or
away.
Something.
Yeah.
Before he went to bed or something, while she was praying for him.
Yes.
Or she had, like, prayed for him before.
Yes.
Something like that.
Crazy.
And so he like knew, I don't know, I think it was a way for him to like know that his like.
Well, I'll finish that. And let me just recap on what Lisey said. He was in a public place and he sees a man sitting by himself and he's highlighted and he hears God say, go nibble on his ear. And it's like,
what?
No crazy
nibble
way am I
ear.
Doing that. A stranger,
Bob
total
Johnson,
stranger,
right?
And but he was willing to do whatever God said, and
wow.
So he actually goes up to him and he nibbles on his ear. And what the man who was sitting there by himself in the depths of his despair and discouragement because of his late wife had passed away, and
oh,
wow. So now he is all alone and depressed, and he is thinking, I might as well end my life. God, I don't even know that you're there. Where, you know, I feel so lost and is having thoughts of ending his life. And then this stranger comes up and nibbles on his ear and he just falls apart and he's sobbing. And so the end of that story is that, you know, after things kind of got back together and, you know, Bob Johnson is asking what was going on. And he said, my wife would always, she would pray for me going to bed. She would just nibble on my ear and she would always whisper to me something like, God always is with you. God loves you. God, and like, and just, and so here he is in the midst of his absolute, almost life-threatening despair. And the message comes, God loves you. He's always with you. He sees you. You're never alone. And as stunning, right? Like, what would happen if we dare to just be willing to do whatever he says? So those are my two things of encouragement. It's what I've been encouraging myself with this week. Oh gosh, it's 12 already. But can I just read these? These are super short.
What's the book?
This is Bill Johnson's newest book. It's called The Resting Place, Living Immersed in the Presence of God. And it is excerpts of a number of his books. Just little like one page, two page things. This is just like a one page thing, and it's just a testimony. But again, it just served to spark a hunger and a desire in me. This is from Charles Finney. He lived 1792 to 1875. He was a Presbyterian minister and evangelist. And he's known as the leader of the Second Great Awakening. So very instrumental in a huge season of revival that was very impacting. Rivers flowing that are reconstructing everything. He says, he entered a factory one morning after breakfast. This is a person who would draw his awareness to the Lord and willing to do whatever. He entered a factory one morning after breakfast in a room filled with young ladies working on their weaving machines. Two in particular stood out to him. They looked a bit agitated, but seemed to cover it with laughter. He said nothing, but walked closer, noticing that one was trembling so badly that she couldn't mend her thread. When he got to within 8 to 10 feet, they burst out in tears and slumped down. In moments, nearly the whole room full of workers was in tears. The owner, who was yet unconverted himself, recognized that this was a divine moment and ordered that his factory be shut down to give his workers a chance to come to Christ. A mini revival broke out, which lasted several days. Nearly the entire mill was converted during this time. It all started with a man upon whom the Spirit of God led to rest. Isn't that cool? That is that overflowing presence of God that just sweeps up your wherever you are environment around you. And I'm just going to read this one last one, and this is about just a page and a half. It's just that short. This is on William Seymour. So he was born 1870 and to 1922. He's known as the initiator of the Great Azusa Street Revival. Anybody right. Not heard of that? Azusa Street Revival? Jerry will. He knows of that. And it was hugely instrumental in rising, the increase of Pentecostal charismatic movements. Yeah. So I love this one because this is like, I'm going to print it up and put it in my house and declare it over us.
Yes.
It says, the Spirit began to fall in L.A. as people were radically filled and walked out into the streets speaking in tongues. Crowds began to grow at these home meetings where Seymour was living with a host family. Before long, they were preaching from the front porch as people filled the streets to listen. Eventually, they moved into an old horse stable at 312 Azusa Street. It was in this stable that, in 1906, that the Pentecostal movement was officially born. People would fall over and weep. They'd speak in tongues. They would laugh. They would jerk. They would dance. No one could possibly record all the miracles that would happen there. John G. Lake said this of Seymour. He had more of God in his life than any man I know up to that time. Missionaries began coming. Firemen would be dispatched to their location because everyone, there was like this visible glory fire, and they're like, the barn's on fire, and they would send firemen, you know, to put out the fire. And anyway, again, somebody who gives his life to bring his awareness and attention to the presence of God, what he wants to do through him and in him and for him and for others. And he's and willing to do whatever he takes. So that is what I'm sharing. So just close your eyes with me. And because I just really felt like this was an impartation, because where I began, and then I just received a spark. So I'm just releasing to you now in the name of Jesus, the spark of heaven and the refreshment that comes with that, the awakening that comes with that. And the just reconstructing of our thoughts, that God's never in lack, that he never doesn't have something to do, and that he has chosen to partner with us in the most simple and unassuming way to bring this presence to us and to everybody that we come in contact with. So I just ask for more Holy Spirit, and I ask for joy and laughter to descend upon all of these households in Jesus' name, and that we are always bringing our mind back to what you're saying and what you're doing and the simplicity of it. We just reject anything that is constraining or rule-based or duty or any of that yucky stuff. It's just this overflow of love, and it's as simple as like when I was pouring the water overflow in the water bottle. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.